10, 11, and 12. Is that right? What one is it?
There is 13 and 14.
That's exactly, 13, 14. Okay. 13, 14. The chapter is entitled, Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhava. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Shaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tuto Jayam Udirayat. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Tamashloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed in loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So, chapter 7 of 11th canto, text number 13. I guess we can say that responsibly. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Ityadishto Bhagavata. Ityadishto Bhagavata. Mahabhagavata Nripa. Mahabhagavata Nripa. Udhava Pranipatyaha. Udhava Pranipatyaha. Tatvam Jigyasur Achyutam. Tatvam Jigyasur Achyutam. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Ityadishto Bhagavata. Mahabhagavata Nripa. Udhava Pranipatyaha. Tatvam Jigyasur Achyutam. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Ityadishto Bhagavata. Mahabhagavata Nripa. Udhava Pranipatyaha. Tatvam Jigyasur Achyutam. Please chant. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Ityadishto Bhagavata. Mahabhagavata Nripa. Udhava Pranipatyaha. Tatvam Jigyasur Achyutam. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Ityadishto Bhagavata. Mahabhagavata Nripa. Udhava Pranipatyaha. Tatvam Jigyasur Achyutam. Ladies. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Ityadishto Bhagavata. Mahabhagavata Nripa. Udhava Pranipatyaha. Tatvam Jigyasur Achyutam. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Ityadishto Bhagavata. Mahabhagavatamritam Udhava pranipatyaha Tatvam jigyasu akshitam Shri Sukha Uvacha Shri Sukadeva Goswami said Iti thus Adishta instructed Bhagavata by the Supreme Lord Mahabhagavata the exalted devotee of the Lord Nripa O King Uddhava Uddhava Pranipat after bowing down to offer respects, Aha spoke Tatvam, the scientific truth, Jigyasu, being eager to learn, Achyutam, unto the infallible personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, thus instructed his pure devotee Uddhava, who was eager to receive knowledge from the Lord. Uddhava then offered obeisances to the Lord and spoke as follows. Purport, Uddhava is described here as Tattva Jigyasu, or desiring to know the truth. It is clear from previous verses that Sri Uddhava is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna and that he considers devotional service to Lord Krishna to be the perfection of life. Thus the word Tattvam Jigyasu indicate that since Lord Krishna is about to leave the earth, Uddhava is most anxious to deepen his understanding of the Lord so that he may further advance in loving service at the Lord's lotus feet. Unlike an ordinary philosopher or scholar, a pure devotee is not eager to acquire knowledge for personal gratification. The verse again, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, thus instructed his pure devotee Uddhava, who was eager to receive knowledge from the Lord. Uddhava then offered obeisances to the Lord and spoke as follows. The microphone is off on the basis, slowly going down. Hare Krishna. Omagina Tamidandasya Jiranjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Eternally indebted to his lotus feet and begged for service life after life. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Sangam Langayate Girim Tatkripa Samaham Bande Sri Guru Ninataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishvaram. So this verse, and we have another verse that we'll read in a bit, are in this wonderful chapter, Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava, which comprises the instructions of the Lord to Uddhava comprise practically the majority of this 11th canto. And this verse is describing some of the qualities of Uddhava. He's described as being very eager. He's very eager to know. Do you remember the translation for the word very eager, being eager to know? Madhumati? Oh, don't look. Oh, well, you can look up there. You can look up there. That's the next one. Ha ha. Krishna tricked you. Jigyasu, he's eager to know, he's eager. And that's actually a qualification that, it's a wonderful qualification to have, because someone who's eager to know, someone who's, if you've ever had the opportunity to do teaching to various types of personalities, those personalities that express an eagerness to learn, it really is encouraging. If you're in a situation where there are some people who wish they weren't there, you can feel that vibe. Sometimes we've had that experience over in the Bhana school. Okay. Well, sometimes whatever circumstances, your mind's in another place, whatever, but that person who's speaking can get those vibes, and it's tougher to cut through that. You have to feel like you have to dance, do a jig, something to get their attention and bring, but anyway, that isn't the case here. Uddhava tattva jigyasu, he's very eager to know. And so therefore, the natural inclination for somebody is to reciprocate with that. And so Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's very eager to instruct Uddhava. He reciprocates with his devotees in this way. He's very eager to instruct him further, to help him deepen his understanding of the Lord. So, another qualification, another description of Uddhava was pranipatya. He was bowing down. That's what offered obeisance. He was pranipatya, offering obeisances. So that is reminiscent of the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, 34th verse, how one who is makes inquiry to the absolute truth, they can do it by they can by rendering service and offering obeisances, inquiring submissively and offering respects. That is though that attitude helps one make progress by offering respects and rendering service. That attitude helps one make progress in devotional service. So we have a text 14 also today, and it further describes, this is now Uddhava speaking, and he's going to clarify a few things here. So we can read this verse together. Shri Uddhava Vacha, Yogesha Yoga Vyasya Yogatman Yoga Sambhava Nishyasya Metroktas Tyaga Sanyasa Lakshana. Translation, Sri Uddhava said, my dear Lord, you alone award the results of yoga practice. And you are so kind that by your own influence, you distribute the perfection of yoga to your devotee. Thus, you are the supreme soul who is realized through yoga. And it is you who are the origin of all mystic power. For my supreme benefit, you have explained the procedure for giving up the material world through the process of sannyas, or renunciation. And the purport by Prabhupada's disciples, the word yogesha here indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead awards the results of all yoga practices. So we can see yoga, yogesha, it's the combination of the word yoga and isha. Isha is the supreme. Isha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who's awarding the results of the yoga practices. Nothing can happen without Krishna awarding the results. Nothing, no one can attain any anything without Krishna awarding the results. Although he has the whole he has it organized in such a way that he has deputed different personalities also to be able to award some results, ultimately, like the demigods, ultimately the results are coming from Krishna. And unless Krishna is deputing that person or giving that person permission, nobody gets the results of anything, because he is Ishvara. Since all the material and spiritual worlds emanate from the transcendental body of Krishna, can anyone think of a verse that confirms that? Aham sarvasya prabhava. Krishna is the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Nothing here, this is continuing in the purport. There is nothing to be achieved by any yoga process except Krishna and his potencies. Unfortunately, people don't understand that. Nate vidu swarga gatim hi vishnu, 7th canto, Bhagavatam. People aren't understanding that the goal of all their yoga practices, their goal of all their austerities, their goal of all their tapas, dana, jnana, everything is Krishna. Unfortunately, they don't understand that. And until they come to that level of, until they make further and further progress on those different graded paths, they have to continue cycling. We'll explain it a little further in the purport. And since the Lord remains eternally the master of his potencies, no one can achieve anything through yoga or any spiritual or material process except by the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word yoga means linking up. And unless we link ourselves to the absolute truth, we remain covered by the darkness of ignorance. Thus, Lord Krishna is the real goal of yoga. In the material world, we falsely try to link ourselves with the objects of the senses. Man wants to link with woman, and woman with man. Or one tries to link up with nationalism, socialism, capitalism, or innumerable other creations of the illusory energy of the Lord. Since we are linking ourselves to temporary objects, the relationships are temporary, the results are temporary, and at the time of death we become bewildered when all our connections are suddenly cut off by Maya. If we link ourselves to Krishna, however, our relationship with him will continue even after death. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, the relationship with Krishna that we develop in this life will continue to increase in our next life until we achieve the supreme goal of entering Krishna's planet. Can we get a verse that confirms those statements? What? Say it again. Eighth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. How about another one? Neha Bikramanastos Day. Whatever endeavor one makes in this path, there's never any loss or diminution. Never any loss. And what little advancement that one makes, then that progress will be there in the next life. So how could one achieve, or what other process gives that such a wonderful result? That the progress that you make, even without fully completing it, is never lost. And one starts off their progress in their next life, it explains sixth chapter, that one sometimes becomes automatically attracted to the yoga processes, even without any previous connection with them. And they become automatically attracted. What comes to mind is in Radhanath Maharaj's book, Coming Home, I believe, he was saying how in his younger days, being brought up in suburbs of Chicago area, his parents were often bewildered by his activities because he used to refuse to sit on chairs, especially at the dinner table. He wouldn't want to sit on the chair and take his food. He wanted to sit on the floor. And so his mother kind of had to lay down the law. Either you sit on the chair or, actually I can't remember what else, but anyway, he didn't sit on the floor, but he would stand up instead. But the thing is, the automatic attraction to the yogic principles, even in the 50 era, not having any previous in this life association with yoga or anything, still he's automatically attracted to those things. He wants to sit cross-legged on the floor even at 14 years old. Amazing. Continuing in the purport, those who sincerely serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following the transcendental lifestyle prescribed by the Lord will enter the Lord's abode at the end of this lifetime. So this again, so encouraging, the process of bhakti yoga is so encouraging that, if you don't mind, I have to say something that I've said probably a few classes, but maybe you don't remember. But Nectar Instruction, third verse, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, when he's talking about the that enthusiasm, all of these principles in devotional service, they're very helpful in making progress. But Prabhupada says in the purport there, in that third verse, he says that the process of bhakti yoga is so potent that once having begun Oh, I remember. I did say this recently. Madan Mohan corrected me that I quoted it wrong. Okay, sorry. That once having begun, one is, what's the rest?
Forcibly dragged
to ultimate success. Is that correct? Okay, thanks. Thanks. Don't want to misquote it. Forcibly dragged. The process of bhakti yoga is so potent, transcendentally potent, that one is forcibly dragged to ultimate success. So this is what, this is the process that somehow or other Srila Prabhupada has, in some cases, tricked us into taking some, in other cases, people have accepted the process knowingly, but this is the process. Whereas, now in this next paragraph, it's going to explain the process of jnana and karma and hatha and raja yoga. That process is so much more time-consuming, so much more austerity and practice, and the results are so paltry in comparison. So here's the next paragraph. One can never achieve a permanent situation by mental speculation. And what to speak of by ordinary material sense gratification. By the method of hatha yoga, karma yoga, raja yoga, jnana yoga, etc., one does not actually awaken his propensity for rendering eternal loving service unto the personality of Godhead. So we were reading yesterday, 10th canto, chapter 2, the demigod's prayers to the Lord in the womb of Devaki. They assembled invisible in the area that Devaki was to offer prayers to the Lord. They offered so many wonderful prayers. One of their prayers was Arunya Krichin. Oh, here's that. I'm going to start in the beginning. Hold on. I got it right here. Nye nye ravindaksha avimukta maninas tvayasta bhava avishuda avishuda buddhaya. Their intelligence is covered. Aruya krishchena param padam tata patyantyato nabhita yushmat angraha. So when Prabhupada quotes that verse from the Bhagavatam, there in the 10th canto, chapter 2, he gives practically a whole paragraph of an introduction to the verse in the verse itself, saying that one might ask, what about the people who take to other processes of yoga? What are other processes? What's the result that they achieve? The answer to that is given in this verse, and then he quotes the verse. And that, O Lotus Eye Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, Vimukta manina, by they think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport there that unless one has attachment to the form of the Lord, to the form of the Lord, then sooner or later they'll fall down from whatever platform they're on. Because without attaching to the form, because the form of the Lord is real. It's real. It's the supreme truth. And unless one has attaching to the supreme form of the Lord, then they'll fall down from their position of so-called superiority sooner or later. Lord Brahma also confirms that. Well, kind of, sort of. He confirms the difficulty that they undergo. In the Brahma Samhita, in text 35, Eko Pyaso Chaitam Jagadanda, oops, no, not that one. Pantastu Koti Satavatsara Sampradanyo Vayoratapi Manaso Munipungavanam So Pyasti Yatraparasim Yavachintitatme Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis. After so many austerities and penances and millions of years of meditation, they only approaching a glimmer of the tip of the toe. Here's what he says. Only the tip of the toe whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to the pranayama, to the breathing process. by drilling the respiration, or by the gyanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman, by the process of elimination of the mundane, and here's the part that gets me, extending over thousands and millions of years. So after thousands and millions of years of austerity and strictly following vows and rules and regulations and this and that, if they're not attracted, or if they're not, haven't come to the level of understanding that the Lord has a form, that His form is transcendental, that His form is all beautiful, and so if they're not attracted to the form of the Lord, then all they get is the endeavor, the hard labor, the results of the hard, they're only getting the labor that they put into it, which really doesn't make it. Whereas for the devotees, even a slight endeavor, Krishna says, svalpam api asya dharma, even a slight endeavor on the, or a slight amount of progress on the path of devotion can save one from the greatest fear of having been thrown into lower species of life. So when one compares the processes and the results of the processes, they're practically, it's incomparable. It's like apples and oranges. You know, they're not the same. The result is not the same. Even that's a bad example, apples and oranges. But I have to think of a better one. But anyway, still, the results are not the same. And yet, so many people are attracted to these things. Natevidu swarga katim hi Vishnu. Unfortunately, they don't know that the goal of life is Vishnu. Continuing on. Thus, one is bereft of the transcendental taste of spiritual enjoyment. And that brings to mind how param disvanivartate, when one gets the higher taste, then it's so much easier to give up the lower taste. And the classic example, as we spoke about yesterday in our class, the classic example is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur chanting the holy name. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that Haridas Thakur was never neglectful in his chanting the holy name. Never neglectful. It's just like amazing. He was never indifferent to the chanting. He was always, whenever he chanted all his millions of rounds every day, he was always attentive and tasting the relishing the taste of the holy name. So by that taste, that spiritual taste, how could he, there was no question of him being allured by any lower taste for material enjoyment. And very easily, he could even say, come in to Maya, come in, sit down over there, and just listen to the chanting and not be disturbed by that, the presence of that person eager for materialistic association. He wasn't disturbed at all. It didn't flicker. His consciousness was so steady. His taste was so supreme. Sometimes the conditioned soul, disgusted by his failure to gratify his senses, bitterly decides to renounce the material world and merge into an impersonal, painless transcendence. But our actual happy situation is to render loving service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the feet of the Personality of Godhead. All of the different yoga processes gradually lead one to love of God, and it is Lord Krishna's aim to reestablish the conditioned souls in this happy position. As I'm reading the words here incorrectly, I'm reminded about how in previous ages there weren't even books. People were so intelligent and so advanced that they would just hear once and they would be able to remember things perfectly and repeat it perfectly and understand the imports perfectly. As things started to degrade and the qualities of men became less and less advanced, the need for writing things down was became prominent. And even I can see, even it's written right in front of my eyes in the scroll, I still read it wrong. So how can we see this? We're such Kali Yuga babies, to say. Okay, anyway. This is one more sentence. Read back. All of the different yoga processes gradually lead one to love of God and his Lord Krishna's aim to reestablish the conditioned souls in this happy position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making this perfection easily available through the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, the supreme yoga process for this age. So here in this verse and purport, and in this section, and in many sections, again, these points are reiterated over and over again so that we'll get them through our head and be totally convinced that this process of devotional service is supremely pure, supremely blissful, and supremely potent. And one who doesn't have faith, Prabhupada says in that purport to that verse of Arya Kruchena Param Padam Pada. For one, he quotes Bhagavad Gita 9.3, Ashradadana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartami. For one who doesn't have faith in the one who's not faithful in the path of devotional service, they can't attain him. But they return to repeated birth and death in this material world. Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. So that's the results of these different personalities who take to these other processes of yoga without attaching to the form of the Lord. So we're so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has established the process of deity worship so that we can worship, we can serve, we can glorify, we can render service in so many ways to the beautiful form of the Lord, and thus that form and its qualities and its pastimes will become situated in our heart, in our consciousness, and therefore, as Prabhupada explains, one will come to Prabhupada's disciples explain, and Prabhupada, that they will come to gradually the highest perfection of life through that process. Okay, Hare Krishna. Comments, corrections, questions, Vegavati Prabhu? It's coming.
That first, I remember reading, I think it was in one of the Prabhupada Lila, when Prabhupada was in Boston, that there were some yoga students from an impersonal school who came to the temple and met Srila Prabhupada, but they weren't submissive anyway, so they also went on a walk with him. And on the walk, one of them was asking in a kind of challenging way, where in your scriptures does it say that something's higher than the impersonal light? And Prabhupada quoted that verse, and then he gave the translation, but without taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. And then he raised his voice and he said, feet! 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 Means he was a person.
Jai, thanks. Madhava Tifaru?
So, in the process of the Kali Yuga process of chanting the holy name, and we understand that the holy name is non different than Krishna's form, it's identical. So, does that mean that, because one may not be wanting to do deity worship or worship the deities, and may not be attracted to the form of the deities? So does that mean that when we are chanting the holy name, that ultimately we will be that Krishna will reveal the form in the holy name? Or do you have any idea what it is all about?
Not much. But One might not be attracted to directly worshiping the form of the Lord, directly doing deity worship, dressing the deities, cooking an offering or this and that. But it's quite natural for a person to take pleasure in taking darshan of the Lord, seeing his form. And also when one is reading the scriptures, depending on how one's inclination is. It's not that everybody has to do everything, but people have a natural inclination to do different aspects of devotional service. So if someone has an inclination to study or read, or they're intellectually inclined, then when they're hearing of the descriptions, they're getting an idea of the form of the Lord and his pastimes and his qualities and becoming attracted like that. So and just like if someone's a book distributor, they're distributing books, they're doing this and that, and they're developing by their interaction with the different non-devotees and this and that, and seeing how Krishna helps them, gives them new inspirations of how to distribute books or places to go. They're seeing how Krishna is reciprocating with their endeavor, and so that's a personal reciprocation, so there's a understanding of personality there. So if one is chanting the holy name, then it's not in a vacuum. I guess maybe I'm not understanding. It's not in a vacuum. They're hearing about the glories of the Lord. They're hearing descriptions, lectures from Srila Prabhupada. They're hearing, there might be seeing different forms. So gradually, everything is revealed. Does anyone want to add to that? Pran Govinda Prabhu, thanks.
You have a very nice class. I was just adding to your horizontal. I was adding to that Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur emphasized that the four gifts of Mahaprabhu, four special gifts. And he quote the verse, Prema Nama Adbhadartha Sravana Patagata Kasya Nam Nam Mahimna. That Mahaprabhu did not just give holy name. He gave prema naam, that he braided, proper translated that sloka, Sevdare achandale kirtana sanchare nama prema mala gati parayala sansare, Adilila chapter 4, that those who are chanting under Mahaprabhu's Guru Parampara line, they are chanting the holy name because it's braided with pure love of Godhead, ultimately drown them into ecstasy to fall in love with the person. Because love only comes in relation to person. Love cannot come from impersonal concept. So those who are chanting, this is not a holy name only, it is actually prema naam. So we will experience the personal relationship with Lord and loving exchange and serving. I had conclude of that Arujya Krishna, because Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai discussion in chapter 8, Madhulila. Mahaprabhu asked the question, Karmi Gyani Kaha Duhar Gati, Deva Deha Stava Deha Jaiche Avastiti. So Mahaprabhu asked, what is the destiny of the Gyanis and the Karmis? And Ramananda Rai replied, that the karmi's destiny is heavenly, pleasure, heaven, and the jnani is impersonal concept. But now in the purpose Prabhupada put, because he puts sthavara, he said, those who are impersonalists, they do not just go to the Brahman that we think Brahman is kind of beyond the material realm. But Prabhupada put, that the Ramananda Rai answered, the Brahman is also the big banyan tree and all these trees, these are also, that's where the impersonalists are. And they take this body and they live there 500 years or 1000 years, like that. Then when the devotee asked Prabhupada, told Prabhupada, there's a big warehouse called Home Depot in America, and we can buy chainsaw and we can cut down all the trees, Prabhupada, the map of the will be finished.
Oh my God.
And Prabhupada says, no, this is not how we have to change their consciousness. So that's the body they get, according to Lord Chaitanya. that they get the rocks or... And Prabhupada even went further, he said, Buddhists get the rocks and the Maya, impersonals... No, impersonals get the rocks and the Mayavadi gets the trees.
Rupa, and I'll come back to you, okay, Prabhu?
Who's name?
Rupa. She was anxious to say something earlier.
Something.
Talking about the holy man,
okay?
Just before her, this, what he said, I just noticed when you're chanting with association of devotees, like I was in Mayapur last year, there was hundreds of devotees in the temple, and it's a lot easier to chant. And to get the pace, because you can see everyone else is making the endeavor to come and sit and chant. Whereas here, you know, this morning there was like four people in the temple, and now we have a community of 1,000 devotees, but maybe none of them chant the 16 minutes. But I really feel that the endeavor to come amongst all the devotees and chant where people can see you, it's really important to keep chanting and to keep the taste, you know, to keep chanting like for many years. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thanks. So Srila Prabhupada, we're very grateful for Prabhupada to give us the opportunity to do that. One can also understand, too, that some people chant by themselves, and it's not that just because we don't see them, they're not chanting. But anyway, Prabhu, what would you like to say? Add or correct?
No correction, just some parana I found on the previous question about the nature of taking shelter of the holy name and
yes.
The relationship that develops with Krishna. Madhulila, chapter 22, process of devotional service, text 14 to 15. From the text it says, wandering and wandering throughout the universe, he, meaning the conditioned soul, may by chance get the association of a devoted physician. Devoted physician whose instructions and hymns make the witch of the external energy flee. And in the Harinama Chintamani of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Thakur Bhaktivinoda mentions that in addition to giving a holy name, the devotee gives instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Means they give the sambandhi gyan to how to understand the nature of the name, who we are, who Krishna is, what our relationship is, the external energy, all these things. And he mentions that without this sambandhi gyan, one cannot extend themselves past the level of chanting in nama pas.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot enter the name of the name of the Lord in purity. So in order to chant and in shraddha nama pas means that you're free of offenses, but you're not chanting purely yet, but you have faith. In order to reach that stage, which qualifies one for the pure name, one actually has to receive instruction on the nature of the world and ourself and Krishna. So that goes hand in hand with the name, and therefore that chanting of the holy name, along with that, helps cultivate that relationship with Krishna.
Thank you. In that section that you're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya's instruction is that Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami? Sanatana? Yeah, that whole process of devotional service is there encapsulated. It's so nice. And that's the basis of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion there. So that what fascinates me is the scientific nature, how everything is so scientifically described. Just like you said, we're not chanting in a vacuum, but by chanting and understanding our relationship with the Lord, by chanting and understanding, you know, the workings of the external energy, the workings of the internal energy, and so many things that it all connects and makes it sweeter and sweeter. Hare Krishna. Anything, Prangovinda Prabhu?
A little more personal. Srila Prabhupada, Madhulila chapter 7, 109, Katakkan Rahi Prabhu Tariyalingiya Vidai Karila Tare Sakti Sancharila. So Prabhupada asked a question in the purport that, so pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are traveling all over the world. And I was thinking like, who is traveling all over the world? It was him at that time, but out of humility Prabhupada said. And they're delivering thousands of people. What does that mean? So then he answered in the purport, he said, means each conditioned soul is getting from that pure devotee endowed with cognizant potency and pleasure potency. Now why it is so significant? Because me and Hariparan, we are just breaking down on the nectar of devotion, because that's what Prabhupada emphasized. When we get the initiation from Guru, this is what nectar of devotion emphasized. Dibbam janam hi atra srimati mantre bhagavat sambandha vishesha bhagavat sarupa vishesha gyanam cha. That initiation means that relationship, as Prabhu mentioning, that re-established. And Prabhupada says that when he, or he didn't say about him, but he said when the devotee traveling and initiating, from the heart of the Guru to the disciple heart, this rati, attachment to Krishna, which is composed of these two potency, cognizant potency and pleasure potency, it is bestowed in the heart.
Nectar devotion, Srila Prabhupada says, that the pure devotee can inject that faith.
Yes.
We were talking about that yesterday also. He can inject that into the heart because he has that extra potency to inject it within the heart of the devotees.
So we should be feeling relationship with the Lord.
Yes. Well, on that wonderful transcendental note, thank you. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Purnanandi.